Well, good evening.
Good evening.
We are elated. We are excited at this opportunity to bring a word. Sister Tammy, that was an awfully kind introduction, and so thank you for that. I don't take an introduction for granted. It's a blessing to be introduced, and it's a blessing to be introduced by one that is dear to you. I love her, and I love her family, and I am thankful. They are a large part of this ministry. Amen? Amen. There are so many protocols established. I know I'm going to miss some, but so many. Miss Emily, she's been keeping up with me for the last month or so, made sure that I got here on time, and sent an email yesterday just to make sure that I was here on time. And so I thank her for her efforts. To my friend, Dr. Legrone, thank you. Thank you for extending this invitation and your kindness throughout these years. It's good to have people that are rooting for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm trying to ease off into this. As Ms. Tammy has said, I am a pastor right here in Wilmore, Kentucky. And so I bring greetings from Cedar Top Baptist Church, about 6 minutes walking, about 2 minutes driving, right there on Scott Street. And so we are thankful to those that represent Asbury and its staff. They have partnered with us. They have been kind to our church. And so we're grateful for what God is doing in that union. I think I've been preaching for a while, but there's still some nerves, and so I'm trying to ease off into the... Look, you help me out. Like Ms. Tammy said, every once in a while, you say amen or something.
Amen.
All right, just to make sure. Look, I'll tell you, like I tell the church, if I don't hear anything, I'll just keep going.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you. I'll just believe that you're not getting it, and so I'm going to try to just keep going through all my notes and preaching everything that I got in seminary, trying to impress you. So you help me out. You say amen, and we'll get on to the house soon.
Amen.
All right. Well, again, we are excited. My wife is here. If you'll just wave, I think Ms. Tammy has already introduced. That's my wife. She keeps up with me. A lot going on, and so I'm thankful to God and those that he has put in my corner. It's preaching time. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeoning of chance, my head is bloody, but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Invictus by William Ernest Henley. Father God, we come to you again, just grateful for this opportunity. Thankful, Father God, that you're giving us a chance to come together. Father God, now I trust that you've given me the word. Now, Father God, give me the ability, give me the confidence to articulate it in a manner that you see fit. Thankful, Father God, for listening ears and open hearts. We pray, Father God, that something is said that will encourage this your people to press on. Thank you again for all those that are here. We pray for each family that is represented here, Father God. We pray for this community, Father God, and we pray for this campus, trusting, Father God, that you'll move through your people. And indeed, we'll be able to say that it was good to have spent time with you. It's in your darling Son Jesus' name that we ask all these things. Amen. Amen. and amen. Again, we're thankful for the reading of the Word of God. I'll try my best. I don't do a whole lot of note reading anyway, but I can't see anything up here. That's why you better be familiar. For those that are entering the ministry and God's calling you to preach, you better know your text, and you better know the story, and you better know what He's given you, and you better be confident and ready to proclaim it. Amen? Amen. Just for a moment, if it be the Lord's will, I want to look at this idea of living courageously. Living courageously. The online Merriam-Webster dictionary defines courage as the mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. As followers of Jesus, we are called to display extraordinary courage. Joshua of the Old Testament, was confronted with the task of leading the children of Israel over the Jordan River and into the Promised Land, was reminded several times to be of good courage. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When Jesus was preparing to go to the cross, he reminded the disciples that they have access to what the world does not. And because of that access, they, and in turn us, are to walk with courage, to walk with a holy audacity, if you will. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is a passage that is interesting. I know you're Bible students, but just for a moment, bear with me, if you will. We have Peter. You know Peter. We have John. You're familiar with John. And you know the story. As we walk through the book of Acts, and I know many times you've seen it, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, but probably more importantly, are Acts of the Apostles, but more appropriately, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because what you have in the book of Acts is the Holy Spirit moving through His people and advancing the church. But what you have a story. You have a lame man. You know the story, but let me just set it up, if you will. You have a lame man in chapter 3, a lame from his birth. Is there somebody here right now on this that's impotent? Are lame. You have one that's lame from his birth. I don't pull a tech on me. I believe it's 40 years. And Peter and John come up on him, and you know the story. They lock eyes, and the man is begging. Peter and John say, "Silver and gold I have none, but what I do have, I'll give. I'll give to you." That's the setup, and the man is healed. And it would be that the people, the crowd, the church would be excited. But as we get to chapter 4, we see here that there's some that are not excited that the man's been healed. And bless your souls, put a pin mark in that. That's a note for all of us. Look, you're going to have some folks that are not going to be happy with what you're doing. I don't care how good you are. I don't care, look, how well you're doing in school and what your grades are like and all that, and how many push-ups you can do and what you look like in that tight shirt and them nice jeans. You're going to always have somebody that's going to be looking down at you. You're going to always have somebody, no matter how good you do, you're going to have somebody that's going to, quote, unquote, not be pleased with what you're doing. Honey, you better learn to press on. Yeah, you better learn in life. If you're looking to please folks, if you're looking for folks to always give you a pat on the back, you're going to be in trouble. That's not in the notes. That's free. What I'm saying, we've got this. We had this lame man, and Peter. You know the story. Peter and John. God has used them to heal this man, to show the power of the God of God. And yet you have, as Peter and John are preaching amongst the people, you have the church, the established church, if you will, the Sanhedrin, who was looking in, and they have a problem with this. And what I'm trying to get to, I'm trying to set the scene, but what you've got is you've got the Sanhedrin, and you've done the study. You know how powerful the Sanhedrin is. You know the Sadducees and the Pharisees. You know the doctors and the professors and the reverends and how they've got their hierarchy and their system, and you've got all this. And what they're going to do now is they're going to confront Peter and John. And that brings us to this story. This is where I'm at in this Acts account, is that as we see Peter and John move, we should see ourselves moving as well. They are walking through this courageously. And that's what I'm trying to get to you all. That if we're truly the children of God, if we're truly those who God has put his hand on, and there may be some here right now that you don't have a relationship with them, but bless your souls, by the time we get done with this, I pray you do. But for those that do know the Lord, this is where we're called to walk in. We're called to walk courageously. Bless your souls. I know. Look, I'm about to get off my notes. I've got some notes here. I'm going to send them to you. It's some good notes. I may not get to all of it. I'm going to move as the Lord sees fit. But look, I know it's not been easy for some of us. I know even in this, for many of us who are young, and some of you all, this may be your first semester. For others, it may be year two for you, year three. I don't know where you're at, but I just believe for there's many here that can attest to the fact that it's not been easy. Look, you should pat yourself on the back right now, and it's taken some courage to make it this far. Some of us come here, households haven't been great, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's part of life. Not all of us come from, matter of fact, none of us come from perfect households. Some of us have come from situations we didn't know how we were going to get to Asbury. We just looked up and we're on campus, and we went down to the Office of Finance, and it's taken care of, so we've got one more semester to do it. What I'm saying you've already been courageous. And so now I invite you to continue in that courageous walk. We've got Peter and John right here, and the Sanhedrin has said, look, we need you not to keep talking about this Jesus. Look, your Bible students, go back and look at it. Ultimately, they have a problem, and it's really the Sadducees. I've done my homework. The Sadducees don't believe in what? The resurrection, right? And so when Peter was talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's really what they had a problem with. What I'm saying, there's going to be some folks that because you didn't come and do it the way they thought you were supposed to do it, they're going to try to keep their hand on you. Walk courageously anyway. Right, let me get back to my notes. That's free right there. I feel like I need a Pastor Trey or something. And so we're called to walk courageous. We see in this account Peter and John. We see that they have this courage that is different from normal folks. And bless your souls, we're called in 2023 to have a different walk, a courageous walk that the world does not have. We have that not because we're so good. It's because of the Christ that is in us. Let me get disciplined. I'm trying right here. This courage, in spite of them possibly and at times losing their freedom. This courage. Keep in mind, this was the group that had just crucified Jesus, if you will. This courage that Peter and John has displayed, we're called to display it as well. My 3 points, so you don't think he's just up there talking. I got it. I've got it in here. I'll give you my 3 points, and then as I say back in Cedar Top, I'll give you the bones, and you can put some flesh on it on your own later. There's this courage. This courage. How do I get this different type of courage? Well, one, you have to understand the relationship, right? You'll see it. And then because of the relationship, it produces godly results. And because of the godly results, I'm called to have a bold response. Relationship, results, and response. That's if I don't get through all of it. You can't say I didn't do my homework. This courage that Peter and John has, we see that it comes first by way of relationship. Go back and look at it, the Acts account. Thank you for reading that scripture. The 13th verse. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. That's your shouting part right there. They looked and look, they weren't the it wasn't a compliment. They were saying, we know that there's something different about them because they didn't go through the Asbury Seminary. And look, there's nothing wrong with Asbury Seminary. Get all your look, I'm not bashing it. Get all your degrees. If the Lord sees fit to that you get 4 PhDs and you stay here 15 years and get you 4 PhDs. I'm for education. I love education, and if God has given you the means to do that, then you go do it, and you do it and complete it with all that is in you. But right here we see that Peter and John did not go through the formal training, and so when the folks looked at it, they said, "Hold on, these are untrained men that haven't gone through the seminary training. How dare they speak with such boldness?" But look at that part B or part C of that. They say, we noticed something, that they have been with Jesus. Bless your souls. When it's all said and done, don't you lose your relationship with him. Your courage comes from your relationship with Jesus. Let me see. Let me give you, so y'all don't say, he's just up there talking. They ain't got no Bible. What's that? Martha and Mary. Y'all know that scene. Martha and Mary, Jesus had come and they had fixed a meal for him, right? I got here, Luke 10, 38 through 42. And Martha, she had done all the work and dishes and finally, she looks at it and said, "Jesus, don't you have a problem with this?" And he has to remind her that Mary chose the good thing. Mary was what? You Bible students, was at the feet of Jesus. Bless your souls. You want to be successful? You want to have a good semester? You want to have a healthy life? You make sure that your relationship with Jesus is where it needs to be. Yeah, make sure you keep your relationship with him. Mary, while Martha was, and Martha was doing stuff that seems like at first glance was all right. We got to get the food in here. We got to get the lasagna in here. We've got to get the roast in here. Doesn't she see that there's work to do? Jesus is at the house. And she's saying, "Nah, I'm gonna take his time to get at his feet." And bless your souls. You wanna live courageously. You want to live an extraordinary life. You want to have an extraordinary time right here on this campus. And watch your relationships. Make sure you've got this relationship right. And when you've got that relationship, he'll take care of all these other relationships. I'm reminded in the word of God, Proverbs 13 and 20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. You better watch who you hang with. You better watch who you run with. You want to be successful, you want to make sure that you're not chipping away at your spiritual being, then watch who you have in your corner. And you make sure that number one, Jesus is the one that you're seeking. Seek after him. They said they looked and we know that they're not speaking bold because of the fact that they've done the seminary training and went through all the rabbinical, the training with the rabbis. No. They see that there's something different because they were with Jesus. Bless your souls. There's going to be something different about you if you are one that's with Jesus. You want to talk about living courageously. You want to talk about living bold. Then first make sure that your relationship with him is intact. Do what you have to do to make sure that you're doing some type of meditating every day. Make sure that you're spending some time with him. And watch how he pours back into you. And then also, once you have the relationship with him, we see that this courage produces godly results. In 14, I'm not going to get through all this, but I just want you to see some of this. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Keep in mind, again, we have the strongest body at that time coming after Peter and John. And they had already put Peter and John in confinement, if you will. And now they come to the next day, and they're trying to figure out what to do with them. And so it's not looking good for Peter and John. And they say, what can we do with them? The results speak for themselves. You missed it. You missed it. You've got this situation where it looks like their back is against the wall. But nobody can refute that this man right here, that just 24 hours before was lame. You missed it. I'm talking about, okay, let me bring it to you where you're at. You're saying, what in the world does it have to do with where I'm at? Look. I know this is not easy. I know school ain't easy. I was coming up here and I was thinking to myself, Hebrew and Greek and stats and all that. I almost turned around when I got to thinking about stats and all that. I got to thinking about those late nights, and I still have some long late nights, but I got to thinking about, in fact, I probably owe y'all a little bit of money because I used to use this library right here. In fact, there was nights I didn't even go here, but I'd close down this library. They'd have to tap me on the shoulder and move me on out of there. What I'm saying there's some sacrifice. I'm saying there's some struggles. I'm saying there's some frustrations. There's some pitfalls. But bless your souls, if you stay with Jesus, if you stay committed to him, he'll give you the courage, and out of that courage, you'll see godly results. I'm trying to help you. You've already started work, right? You started class. Yeah. Look, it took courage to get up and get to class on time. It took courage. It's first 2 weeks. I'm already up studying. I'm already got burning the light. I'm already burning the oil, as they say, the lamp oil. It takes courage to do that when you know you've got friends that look like they're chilling. You've got companions, maybe even a boyfriend or girlfriend look like they're taking it real easy. But let me tell you something. It takes courage to do right. It takes courage to press forward. But you know that if you press forward, God will see you through. He'll give you the results in the desires of your heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. You do right, and you watch God bless you 3 and 10-fold. Look, David said after he looked back on it, he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Honey, you stay on that horse and keep on going. You ask God to give you the courage to keep pressing through, and watch what he'll do with it. I'm reminded of a lad who took all he had to Jesus, and Jesus blessed it 10-fold, fed everybody there, including them little nasty apostles who asked, what can we do with these fishes and this bread? Jesus will show you in front of your enemies. This ain't even that kind of sermon, but you better don't you let anybody stop you. I told the church the other day, you better start walking around with your fork and your knife. Don't you let anybody stop you. You live courageously, and you watch him set up a table before your enemies. Get your fork and get your knife right now. I got a couple of seconds. I'm just saying these godly results. But look, you only get the godly results when you do what God has called you to do. Ask God to give you the courage to do it right. Look, obedience. You're Bible students. Write that down and tell me where it said. Obedience is better than sacrifice. God will bless those that are obedient, those that have the courage to do what he's called them to do. There was a blind man, and God, you know, he spit on the ground, put the mud on the eyes, and he told him to do what? Go wash in the pool of Siloam, or scent. In order for it to take effect, he had to do exactly what Jesus had called him and told him to do. The reason that many of us are not getting the godly results that we desire or that we think we should be getting, because we're not doing it. We don't have the courage to do it the way that God has called us to do. Ask God this semester to start giving you the courage to do it the way that he said to do it. Courage produces godly results, and then I'll get on out of here. The last one, courage produces a bold response. Look at that. You see that in 20? Go back. If you don't have your Bibles, go back and get it later. Peter, John, I'm going to tell you what. We're not going to do anything to you right now, but just don't go back. Just don't go back and talk about that Jesus and that resurrection thing. You do that, we'll call it even and let you go. And this is Peter and John's response. It says, 24, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Oh, I'm done. Oh, that should get you excited. Maybe you've not. It spoke to me. If it didn't speak to anybody else, it spoke to me. Maybe on surface it looks like you're doing okay. But you know God has called you to take that next step. And you've been scared to take that next step for whatever reason. Maybe it's because of what people will say. Maybe because you feel like you don't have that safety net if you do that. But many of us, we know that God has called us to take that next step. Maybe it's for us the next step is cutting that relationship that he told us to cut a long time ago. Maybe for us, it's time for us to make sure we get in a better crowd and tell those folks that's in the crowd with us that if you're going to be in my crowd, you're going to straighten up. What I'm saying God has called all of us to be more courageous in some areas. And he put this before Peter and John, you got a chance to get on out of here if you just go quietly. Peter and John, they said, You do the addition on your own. But we've seen too much, and I'm starting to get happy now. They said, we've seen too much, and we've heard too much of the goodness of God to turn back now. He's been too good to us. And so bless your souls. You do what you got to do. But I'm going to keep on preaching him, and I'm going to keep on teaching him. And I'm here to tell you, in 2023, Asbury, I don't know what's before you. I don't know the battles. I don't know the struggles that you're going to have. But bless your souls. He's already told me that he'll give you the courage to respond. He'll give you the audacity to respond with boldness. That's enough right there. Pick your shoulders up. You walk all semester, you walk through this place like you own it. Don't be arrogant, I'm not saying that. Because bless your soul, honey, it's not you. It's the God that's in you. But you walk, when things get tough, pick your shoulders up and you keep on walking. I tell them at Cedar Top, look, I know you have some bad days, but make sure you do two things at least. You get in that shower and you make up that bed. You tell yourself you're not going to give in. Because God, look, what's in you is greater than that which is in all of the world. Let me get on out of here. Thomas Dorsey, All the cross makes the difference. Thomas Dorsey, and I've got to get out of here. They got an itinerary that tells me I'm 2 minutes over. Thomas Dorsey in the 1930s was one of the more talented musicians and composers in all of these United States. He had a knack for blending gospel music, and a lot of folks looked down on him because of this, blending gospel music and the blues. And his career was kind of pressing on, but then in 1932, I believe, tragically, his wife and his son were killed in a car accident. Struggling and distraught, Thomas Dorsey, he had a choice. He had a choice that he could sit in his despondency, he could get depressed and not move forward, and quite frankly, folks would have understood. But it said that he came to a moment that he sat down in front of that piano, and it said that he arranged and put together one of the greatest hymns and songs that the church knows today. As he sat there despondent, God gave him the strength to pen these words: "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me home." Oh, that's enough, Asbury. I think that'll help a little bit. When you have those down moments and you're trying to figure out how you find it in your being and in yourself to keep going, just remember, honey, that you got a relationship with him. And he's promised that he'll give you what you need to press forward. And so you live courageously, knowing that God will see some things. No, God will see all the things through. All things work together for them that love the Lord and call it according to his word. I think that's enough. I think that's enough. God, again, we thank you for what our eyes have seen and our ears have heard. Thank you for the preached word that reminds us and calls us to live courageously in a dying world. Father God, you've given us these awesome ministries. And so we're going to be obedient and be the light that you've called us to be. Thank you for this gathering. Thank you for all those that have made this possible. And bless each one of these, your children, is our prayer. Forgive us of our sinful ways, and thank you for Calvary that gives us all the hope. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen. 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 And amen.